what's Pro Football Focus doing? Last week they had Brady. This week they got Brady.
We're doing it. We're literally doing it differently from everybody else.
As a matter of fact, moving forward from this point on, I will not make reference to PFL.
Ready to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. We're going team by team.
I would be very careful about slinging stuff.
Am I going to get sued?
We got legal on this?
Let's send you out on the right note. PFF sucks. Have a great day, everybody. Wow.
Welcome into the PFF NFL podcast. Steve Palazzolo, Sam Monson. We're somewhat live on YouTube and everywhere you're listening to podcasts. Steve coming to you from Mobile, Alabama here. How you doing, Sam?
Not bad, Steve. Not bad. How is Mobile?
It's good. It's weather is excellent. 60s, sunny. The sun is bearing down on us, though. You know, drains you.
Now,
it's been good.
I promised the people that there would be more of a travel log update for you, specifically because I read your Twitter and discovered that you flew down in a middle seat. And for people like me, you know, it's not great, but it's not the worst thing in the world. For people like you, I imagine that's worse.
It was upsetting. It was, so I had two flights.
You
so the first flight. Yeah, I flew to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Mobile. First flight from Cincinnati. There's like nobody on the plane. It's a big plane. I get like the super duper exit row. I couldn't even reach the thing. I had so much leg room. So like the average leg room across the two flights was really, really strong. Really good number. But I had, but all the leg room was, you know, concentrated into the first flight. Second flight, because I'm a good company man here, Sam, I didn't upgrade my seat to get exit row or whatever. I usually go do a little puppy dog face and I say, hey, do you have any extra leg room? They say, sure. But it was loaded flight from Atlanta to Mobile. Bunch of media people and I'm in the middle seat and they look at me like, no, we got a full flight. Sorry. So I figured they're like, hey, maybe you could switch when you get on there. So then the next thing is like, okay, who's next to me?
Right.
And it's like, there was like a girl who was like pretty small next to me. I'm like, all right, so there's some room there. And then big dude next to me. And like in the aisle. And it's like, well, he's never going to switch with me. Then we got some false hope. There's two open seats right in the aisle next to me. And I was like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go grab one of those seats. I'm going to have extra leg room. And then they look up and like two more, the last two people come on the plane and fill those seats. So I'm stuck in the middle row, middle seat the whole time. And all of our media friends are laughing at me and chuckling. And it was great. It was, tough flight. At least it was like only a 54-minute flight, so I just kind of sucked it up, like without moving. I just didn't move for 54 minutes.
Yeah, I remember there was one. Yeah, for anybody,
one of our flights when you were there,
right? Yeah. When we generally fly places, what happens is we go through security, all that kind of stuff, and then Steve makes a beeline to the gate and the person on the gate, and basically says, "Hey, any chance that you have an exit row seat?" And essentially just, you know, look at me, and they take a look at you, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll figure that out." So, but occasionally it doesn't go your way on a full flight. And I think the most sad I have ever seen you was when you were wedged into a middle seat, just random row 35, you know,
in the back
B,
row,
whatever it is, wedged right in there and couldn't move. That's how you would have been on the Super Bowl last year had you been in those seats. You would have been stuck there,
wedged in, and
you wouldn't have been able to move. Yes, it would have been exactly that bad, only with like plastic chairs instead of like an airplane seat. But same idea.
I will really rethink the, you know, the begging for a Super Bowl media pass if it's going to be that bad again in Vegas. If there's any way we could get some forewarning, that would be great.
You should find out whether it's whether it's like an auxiliary, you know, what are we talking exactly for these media seats, or, you know, is it in a normal press box? Then we can,
is there any extra room on the sideline or something? I'll stand, you know, that would be fine.
I have a cell phone. Can we get a photographer's credential?
Anything, please. But yeah, it's a good week. It's the first time I've been down here in a while, and you forget just how big it's really gotten down here. As far as the media presence, but you know, a lot of people from the NFL, scouting departments, front offices, and the whole thing. So far that's been good.
I'm tempted to keep this going and just make it a travel log program, because Walt in the chat yesterday was getting big mad that we didn't talk about the players enough. And frankly, I found that funny. So we can keep
going. I've got quick player takes to get through. Okay. But if you, I mean, I've had about 10 different types of oysters so far.
Really?
A lot of oysters down here. Yep. And then I had today, recording on a Wednesday, had seafood oysters for lunch. I'm going to go grab seafood for dinner. So, you know, getting the local mix in over here. And then next week we'll have buffet logs in Vegas.
We had an emailer message in and basically say, hey, look, I live in Vegas. If you guys want any tips, any help, anything really, he was our guy. So,
well, let's ask the people right now. First off, if we did a show over at Circa, would you come by and hang out and grab a drink with PFF? It's like, we can throw this little get together, but I don't want to do it if we're going to, you know, only have like two or three people. Like,
well,
if 50
yeah.
people step up and like, hey, we're in the area, we're coming up for the Super Bowl, we'll be there on a Tuesday. Maybe.
We should
I just
probably
don't know
be
if we would attract that many people.
Yeah, we should probably be more clear with that. We will be doing a show from Circa. They have asked if we would like to also host some kind of, hey, come and have a drink with PFF after the show. That's the part we need clarity on. So if you are in Vegas and would be happy to come to the show and or after drink at Circa, then email us in nflpodcast@pff.com and let us know. If we get enough people sending emails, then we can reply yes to the good people. Otherwise, that feels like too much of a stretch to just say, yeah, sure, there'll be enough people there.
So let us know. And if 2022 is bringing exciting or unexpected changes to your life, here's a secret weapon to help you face those challenges with more confidence. It's a great term life insurance policy. That's right. Fabric by Gerber Life makes it simple to protect your family's financial future so you can focus on what's ahead, knowing your family is protected if something else unexpected happens. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. So join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. That's meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. meetfabric.com/PFFNFL. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Insurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Other, you know, as we're hobnobbing over here and talking to people, at least two NFL GMs. So one NFL GM came up to me and said, hey, Steve, you know, I listened to your show on double speed. He 2X's it because he only has about 30 minutes to work out. And he likes to just get
his information.
That's
getting you halfway through the show.
I know. I was like, you must have, I mean, yeah, exactly. You must get one show a week done here. At 2X. But it was good to hear. And it was, you know, we get these reminders every now and again that like the people are listening and we have to, you know, maybe be careful how much criticism we give. There was another GM. We may have criticized some of the moves this team's made at various points. And I went up to like introduce myself and he said, hey, Steve. And I said, oh my gosh. Okay. You know me. What from? And I couldn't remember like if, because we do a lot of team meetings and stuff. They're not always with the GM. I couldn't remember if we had done meetings where he was there and I had presented or whatever it might be. But he knew my name as I was trying to introduce myself and we had a good little chat. Didn't bring up the podcast, but I do wonder if he's a listener as well. I don't know.
Right.
Potentially, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a degree of FOMO over here sitting in my basement while you're talking. You're just sending me texts throughout the day telling me all of the people that you've been talking to on the sidelines, you know, these big NFL people that listen to our show. Meanwhile,
I'm sorry, Sam, next week, I do want to give a shout out because we did have, there's a lot of college personnel people here. There's just a lot of people here and we're getting a lot of, you know, head nods and dabs and hugs and the whole thing for the show. And so you deserve all that credit. You know, a lot of people said, hey, we listen. Yeah. Hey, we listen.
You're,
you know,
so, you're receiving it.
We appreciate all you guys. We appreciate everybody.
Yeah, you're receiving all the kudos while I'm sitting here forming takes on wide receivers based off the PFF Ultimate Tape.
It's all going your way, Sam, next week. You'll get all the credit. You want to talk some players? What are you seeing? I don't see the Twitter buzz. Are you seeing Twitter buzz from certain players or anything like that? What are you seeing
so far? So kind of narratives, I guess, that I've seen from the Senior Bowl. The quarterbacks are bad. Both Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. have not been having good days from what I can tell. What else have I heard? The Michigan kid whose name just leapt out of my
Roman
brain.
Wilson.
Yes, Roman Wilson has been carving everybody up.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah.
So he was one that I hadn't got to his tape yet, and I went watched his tape specifically because he was getting so much hype during the Senior Bowl stuff. I like him. He's a good receiver. But he's doing really well. Xavier Leggett had a much better second day than he did a first day, though from the highlight clips, it still wasn't exactly, you know, light your world on fire type of stuff. Those are probably the big ones I've seen.
So what I just want to preface this by, I think it's very difficult to watch practice and have, you can't have takeaways on every player. I have gotten into so what they do a lot of times is they'll have the one-on-ones for quarterbacks, receivers, corners. That's all happening the same time you have O-line, D-line one-on-ones. So I found myself with the Penix and Nix group. I watched the QB receiver corner one-on-ones two straight days. Didn't see any of the line play for that particular team. And it was the inverse for what I watched on the other team. But so it's tough to like see everything, right? So I don't have answers for everything. But the Nix, like starting with the Nix Penix thing, I thought Penix was better yesterday. I still see those passes where he is just throwing it helmet high outside the numbers on outcuts and everything, but it is inconsistent. I feel like Nix, again, I haven't rewatched the film. PFF's charting all this data, so I'll be able to go back and like quantify it and see it clear. But it feels like Nix has missed some open throws, just missed more open throws. Ball dying down the field just a little bit on some passes. It hasn't been great. I try not to criticize the QBs too much in these settings because it's a lot of where's the route being run and timing and communication. That makes things look ugly sometimes. But yeah, both teams' quarterback play hasn't been great.
And has Tennessee quarterback Joe Milton been anything other than a human howitzer? Because I saw, they put up the kind of the tracking data and the zebra stuff and all like the fancy numbers on the big screen, and people obviously snap pictures of it, and it was like furthest distance thrown, Joe Milton, highest RPMs, Joe Milton, biggest ball velocity, Joe Milton, like every sort of large arm throwing fast or distance thing was Joe Milton.
Yes, the problem is his longest pass may have been on a slant, you know, it may have been just a slant that he overthrew. I don't know. The inconsistency is still there. I'm just joking, Joe. But yeah, he is. I mean, I was talking to some other people today about him specifically, and it's like he's super fast as well, has the cannon. Same thing on tape. He's inaccurate and doesn't see it all that quickly, throws it kind of late, right? Those are the opposite of what you're looking for a quarterback, but those are the intriguing tools, right? We have seen as scary as it is sometimes when somebody's like just late within their own offense, we've seen other players like Carson Wentz sped up his process at the NFL level. I think Jimmy Garoppolo sped up his process at the NFL level. So it's doable, but that needs to happen with Milton. So yeah, the accuracy is still an issue. So Milton's on the same team as Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt from Tulane, and then Bradley Carter. From South Alabama. That group of quarterbacks has been, I think, worse than Penix, Nix, and Sam Hartman. That group has been even worse as a group. Like watching that passing attack, that team, the American roster, has been worse than watching Nix, Penix, and Sam Hartman. So Milton's a part of that group. It's just been very inconsistent so far.
Have you seen much of Roman Wilson then, since he's one of the guys that's been carving up the one-on-ones?
Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is just like highlight this caught my eye, or this is a thing I've seen more than once type of thing. So Roman Wilson, what I've seen more than once is that dude just really snapping in and out of routes, unbelievably, doing a great job. And then today there was a competitive period where at the very end of practice, they were just pulling random QB receiver corner combinations, random tight end versus linebacker, random O-line, D-line. So they were doing offense versus defense. And I think it was Penix threw the ball, and it was down and away and behind Roman Wilson, and he just one-handed it along the sideline. I don't know if that made it to TV.
It did.
Yeah, I have no idea what's been clipped.
It's a clip it's out there. It looked,
I assume somebody must have put it out there. It was insane, but.
without making it very much about myself, it was very reminiscent of the first touchdown I ever scored in the Irish American Football League, right? He seemed to stumble out of his break or something. And when he turned around, the ball was like already here. And it was like he just turned around and snagged it as he said, oh, look, the ball's right here. Almost identical, except in my case, it wasn't because I fell. It was because I ran the wrong route. And when I turned around, I had run like a post and it was supposed to be just a go. So I was too far inside. And when I turned around looking for the ball, it was like thrown outside me. So it just like one handed. So, you know, so, very similar. I can relate. The question I had with Wilson is you watch his tape and he's very much like a slot corner or a slot receiver at Michigan. And generally, right, he's built that way. He's short. He's 5'10", 185 pounds type of thing. He's prototypical slot corner. But when you start doing the one-on-ones, you get a lot of press coverage. You get the kind of stuff that those guys don't see outside or even at all if they're playing in the slot in college. Has this 2 days of practice done anything to change the idea that he might just be a slot receiver only at the next level? Because I've seen comps to Tyler Lockett, right, which is a similar size player who hasn't been a slot receiver at the next level, even though he's a slot like body type and body shape.
Yeah, it's another one I would have to go back and look at the tape specifically to just isolate press. But yeah, they've had him working on the outside, and I don't think it's been an issue. It feels like every time I'm looking up, he's running a dig and he's open, or a slant and he's open, outcut, whatever it might be. So I think this week has helped Roman Wilson quite a bit. So even in that particular area, and they do a good job here too of moving guys around. They, you know, playing in the slot, playing outside.
Right.
The one-on-ones are interesting because you see guys like wide open on a slant, and there's no linebackers there. There's no, like, it's a little different, but you just want to see their movement and their ability to separate. And through that lens, Wilson's had a great week. Let me tell you about our friends over at Prize Picks real quick before we get into, you know, some more receiver play. Patrick Mahomes free square. This is what's happening. If Mahomes throws for one or more yard, you win. That's it. Add an extra layer of excitement to the big game with Prize Picks and take advantage of their exclusive Patrick Mahomes free square offer. If Patrick Mahomes throws for more than 1 yard during the Super Bowl, you win. You can win a prize by rooting for one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Don't miss your chance to get in on the action and win big with Prize Picks. So sign up now, claim your free square. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Instead of battling thousands of players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than a 2-6 player stat projection. Watch the winnings roll in. So if you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill, and comedian Andrew Schultz, you can do that under the community plays, under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so the entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if a player who exits the game in the first half doesn't return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy. So you go to prizepicks.com/PFFNFL, use the code PFFNFL, get a first deposit match up to $100. It's prizepicks.com/PFFNFL. Use code PFFNFL. Get a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy over at Prize Picks. Yeah, Sam, do you have another question?
No, I was going to say that rather than me asking you questions about guys you haven't necessarily been paying that much attention.
Better.
Why don't you tell me who has jumped out to you? Let's do it the other way around.
You're right. Let me go through my list here. Starting with running backs on that national roster, Marshawn Lloyd at USC. We had Jim Nagy on the show last week. He said he's the best running back in the draft. He's had some highlight moments out of the backfield, two-way goes. You see a lot of two-way goes here in one-on-ones. You see a lot of wheel routes. He's been open on both. And then Dylan Lobb, the running back out of UNH, who, you know, shorter, pass catcher type of running back. I think he had 600-700 yards as a receiver last year at UNH. He's shown those skills, broken through the line a few times. By the way, one of the funniest things that happens here is during practice where they're not allowed to tackle and a guy lets up on a tackle and the running back runs through. Not only does the running back run through for 40 yards, that's fine. He's completing the play. But the offense is celebrating. You're like, you have the offense back there like, touchdown, touchdown. It's like, no, that was a 3-yard gain. What are you talking about? But Lobb has gotten behind the defense a couple times from the pass game perspective. And so that's been pretty impressive on the national roster. Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Again, we talked to Nagy last week and said that guy's going to run fast. He has been dynamic in his route running behind the defense. He's fast. He's quick. He's had a couple routes. He kind of gets stuck. You know, I don't know what to do with that, because a lot of times when the guy makes it, you know, great plays and catches, you think that's the only thing. He's had some ones where he's been completely erased, but he's had some really good routes. I don't know if you've gotten to his tape at all, but he is very explosive, quick and fast, and he's showing that off so far. Tez Walker from UNC has I don't know what our official stats will have. He's got to have four or five drops so far this week. There's been a lot of passes that have hit his hands, and then there's a lot of passes where he's open behind the defense too. Bo Nix hit him for at least one or two deep balls earlier today in one-on-ones. So Tez Walker has been kind of up and down and interesting, and he's one of the guys that has like second, third round ability, I think, is what the NFL's expecting there. And I think he's been up and down. Again, my perception might be different than others, but I've seen the ball hit the turf on a couple that he should have caught so far.
Yeah. Jumping back to the start of that screed, Marshawn Lloyd, I think, is really interesting, because I feel like the Senior Bowl generally, all the drills and things are kind of set up to make him look great. We know he operates really well in space, and he's athletic and he's dynamic and he's fast. Apparently he's way bigger than I think people were. He weighed in like was 5-10 pounds heavier than he was listed as well. So he's just kind of prototypical in a lot of ways. But that offense at USC, it's so wide open. There's no bodies in front of him. Like, it's all wide open running lanes. So he's almost a player that I wonder if he's the rare case where the game at the Senior Bowl actually says more than the week of practices for him, because even, as you said, even the week of practices doesn't really put you in those situations where, okay, now we have a crowded box and you got to try and find the space. The game might.
Right.
I expect him to look great one-on-one drills, you know, a linebacker running a route with a two-way go. If he didn't, right, I think it would be a surprise. But that's my question with him, is what happens when he goes into a conventional offense and there's more clutter in front of him?
A couple players on the defensive side of the ball for the national roster. Not that that means anything to anybody here, but just the way I have my roster sorted here. Sione Vaki, the safety out of Utah. For people that don't know Vaki, he graded well at safety for us at Utah. And today he played running back. So they put him in the backfield because he did play a little running back at Utah. And he just tore up USC. And I catch up on the draft a little bit later sometimes. I started watching the USC tape right around when it happened. And I was like, who's this running back? That's incredible. And I had to get down. I didn't know at the time that it was just the safety, Vaki, playing running back. And he looked great running the ball. So he's been, running routes, catching the ball in the backfield and running the ball. So I am intrigued generally, Sam, by Travis Hunter at Colorado, literally playing both ways, receiver and corner. Yeah. And a guy like Vaki, could you play safety and play running back? And I would say, as far as like what you need to learn, it's the easiest position to just go grab 8 or 10 carries in a game is probably running back. It is difficult maybe to do pass protection stuff and, not get your quarterback crushed. But I do wonder, with Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing, and then Travis Hunter at Colorado, does the NFL see this as a potential edge and lean into more two-way player type of stuff? And so Vaki's one of the guys that's doing that down here.
I feel like the biggest impediment to that at the NFL level is how you fit in both meeting rooms. How you learn, but like, you can learn the playbook, obviously, for both things, but like those meetings tend to be happening at the same time, in different places. Can you sort of stay up to date on both things at the same time to a useful degree? I think that's the thing that probably holds it back the most. Like, maybe it's easier at the college level. I don't know. Maybe they take place at different times. You can bounce from one to the other. That, I think, feels like the biggest issue. But I agree that if you're going to have one position where you can come in and it's not a full-time thing and you only need to learn kind of, a portion of the role. I mean, there are scat back roles that exist, right? That are completely free of pass protection. All you need to do is, this is your package of plays. It's less than anybody else needs to learn. You don't need to worry about pass blocking. You just run out there and do this. Like, it can be 5, it can be 10 snaps a game. There are defensive players that have been given an offensive gimmick package, right? Like, guys that are very limited, but I think you could do it if you wanted to.
Yeah, I love the idea of stealing roster spots or stealing, you know, explosive play opportunities or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how much the NFL decides this is a potential edge that they've dabbled with through the years, like we said, but, you know, do they go back to it a little bit more? The cornerback out of Toledo, again, we mentioned with Jim last week in our preview show, Quinyon Mitchell, he's gotten a lot of buzz. Like, he's won some one-on-ones when corners don't win a ton of one-on-ones. Yeah. He's done a nice job so far. And so remember, the big question was 22 snaps or whatever it was against press last year against in Toledo. So far, so good. Playing press, showing different looks, you know, hanging in there in one-on-ones. And, you know, he's like a fringe first-round type of corner that, you know, might solidify that first-round status with his weakness so far at the Senior Bowl.
I mean, I feel like the buzz, he's another guy actually that was getting some buzz that I didn't mention up top, but I feel like the buzz around him says he's a first round corner for sure at this point. The question is how high in the first round does he end up going? And in fact, in what I believe is a fairly lackluster corner group, lackluster might be the wrong word. There's no, you know, Sauce Gardner in this cornerback class, right? There, whatever the starting point is of this group is lower down. So there might be quite a lot of talent in terms of first rounders, but nobody that you want to draft at 5 overall, or nobody that you want to draft at maybe even 10 overall. But in that kind of landscape, I feel like the number one corner is quite attainable for a lot of guys, right? If you can have a really strong pre-draft process, you might be able to push yourself into being that number one spot if you started off as a first round corner or a fringe first rounder. And this is the kind of week that could do that for him.
All right, I'm going to go to the American roster here, just going through my highlighted players. Johnny Wilson, receiver out of Florida State.
Now,
monster.
With his, with his weigh-in, is he receiver or is he tight end, Johnny Wilson?
Yeah, I think old friend Mike Renner, rest in peace, put him.
Double rest in peace now.
Both to Mike Renner and the Messenger in his rankings. I don't even know if you can find those anymore. But he did put Johnny Wilson as tight end 2 behind Brock Bowers, Renner. And we'll have Renner on the show at some point to drop all of his draft takes. We might have to pay him for it as well at this point, just to help him. But Wilson is huge, man. I mean, I don't know which corner it was that he was going up against today, because he's playing receiver. Like, he's playing outside and in the slot.
Okay.
Which corner would it have been? He went up against somebody that was 5'10", 5'9", and it is like he is dwarfing them. But I think he's a receiver. I don't think he's big enough to really be the inline tight end. He would be a protected tight end. But if he plays like a Darren Waller type, you know, I was talking to Trevor about this. If you make him a Darren Waller type, like you protect him from inline, having to block defensive ends as much as possible, you move him around, you call him a tight end, he's in and around the line of scrimmage enough that you have linebackers covering him. There's a mismatch opportunity there with Johnny Wilson. And he looks smooth catching the ball too as a receiver. So yeah, he looks good out there this week from what I've seen.
For those that didn't see, I don't know what he was listed at in college, but he weighed in at the official Senior Bowl measurements as 6'6" and an eighth and 237 pounds. So we are talking about a big, big guy for a wide receiver. Now, I mean, it wouldn't be the biggest tight end in the world, but that kind of is tight end size. I mean, Evan Engram is 6'3", 240. So he's 3 inches taller than Evan Engram and about the same weight, if you consider that he probably hasn't been working out as a tight end. Let's assume he can get 3 pounds on there without too many problems. I mean, he's kind of in that ballpark of tight end weight. Sam Laporta is 245. Like, wouldn't take much for him to get to 240, 245, 250 at that size.
And I have the official listings here that I'm looking through. He has over 35 inch arms as well, which is like offensive tackle territory. That's like, just at a quick glance, fourth or fifth longest arms for anybody on just the American roster. It's offensive tackles and defensive ends, as it usually is. So the catch radius is just unbelievable for Johnny Wilson. So yeah, that size mismatch thing, I think, is going to be really intriguing for the NFL. The other guy getting buzz, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, the receiver. You know, just when you see him on film, he looks fast and quick. You don't always see fast and quick. I see both when I watch him, the way he plays. It showed up in our athleticism score. It showed up in our max speeds. And, you know, I think Field Yates from ESPN is expecting Ladd to go in the first round. I saw Renner also tweet out, like, if he gets to the Panthers at 33, you know, they should take him immediately. So we're talking Ladd McConkey from Georgia getting that late first round type of hype. And he looks fast and quick out there so far this week.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday with Trevor. The conversation has changed, right? It's gone from, oh, where in the mid rounds does he go to how high in the first round is he going to go? Or is he going to go, you know, he's a first round type of receiver. I'm just running through tight ends that I can think of in the measurables thing. I can't find a tight end with longer arms than Johnny Wilson.
No, I believe it. Like 35 is massive. Like 34 would be massive.
Yeah, so Gronk is in the 93rd percentile of arm length among tight ends, and he has 34 and a quarter. Like Johnny Wilson is over an inch longer, and that's the 94th percentile. So I haven't found one yet, and I'm just listing through the largest tight ends I could think of.
I wonder if Johnny's drinking his AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. We drink it every day. I bring it on the road here with me. My diet might not be great over here. I'm eating all the seafood, but I got my AG1. I'm getting my nutrients at the beginning of the day. I drink it every morning with my coffee. It makes me feel great, ready to take on the day. And even when I'm traveling, got to have my AG1 with me. All great athletes, they have one thing in common. They take care of their bodies. And a huge part of that starts with optimizing whole body health. A lot of them also drink AG1. That's why I'm a huge fan. With every daily serving, I'm setting myself up for success with 75 high-quality ingredients that give me the key daily nutrients to support energy, focus, strength, and clarity. It's this micro habit that delivers macro benefits and helps just about everybody take great care of their health every single day. So just mix the one small scoop with water, drink it first thing every morning, and you're done. Also love that it costs less than $3 a day. Pretty good deal, if you ask me. And it's a really good, effective daily habit with high-quality sourced ingredients. For comprehensive solutions what you need from your supplement routine, then try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. That's key right now while I'm traveling. The travel packs, man. Go to drinkag1.com/PFF. That's drinkag1.com/PFF. Go check it out right now. All right, what else do we have here on the American roster? Who else is highlighted? A couple offensive linemen. I know Tyler mentioned Tyler Guyton. Did you have a question or something to say?
Well, number one, it's Trevor, not Tyler. Just an update on the arm length. I've made it to the 96th percentile. The 96th percentile for Jelani Woods, who was the largest tight end I could think of, and we're still only at 34.5-inch arms, so we're still way off.
That's crazy. Johnny Wilson,
you might have the longest arms of any tight end in the database. I don't know. I've successfully done this thing again where I accidentally wave at the webcam and it goes into like
tracking
mode. So hang on. Sort of jazz hands thing stops it, but I can't figure out what. Maybe it's only one hand. Look, hey, there we go. Did it. Got it. Fixed. Done. We're back.
So you use the force and it moves the camera back. That's good.
Right.
So my kids are like loving Star Wars now. That's like all they watch. So they think they like when they're mad at me or something, I try to use the force against me. They just kind of like, eh. So it works for your camera, apparently.
Mm.
So I know Trevor, not Tyler. I'm going to grab dinner with Trevor in a little bit here. Tyler Guyton, again, Nagy mentioned him last week. And Guyton's getting a lot of discussion this week because what Jim Nagy mentioned last week was the size, the movement skills. He mentioned the name Tyron Smith to at least compare what that size and movement skills looked and felt like. And I see it, man. Like I watched Guyton on film and he played right tackle at Oklahoma. And you could absolutely see that potential. You see his, I hate using the word potential, but you can see his in two different ways. Footwork, the size, obviously, and then his grip strength. Like when he locks on, he has some impressive reps here where he's just sticky, we'll say, in pass protection, and guys aren't going anywhere. The question for Guyton, though, let's see, how many career snaps? Little over 1,000. 1,095 career snaps. And the production has been just okay. Like, pretty good pass protection grade last year with Oklahoma, below average run blocking grade. So you know me, Sam. The data might not say yes to Guyton, but my heart is saying, boy, the development is there. So I'll have more official takes on him getting closer to the draft. He might not be for me in my style, but I get it. And he's one of the more intriguing prospects because of how good he could be.
We're generally relatively low on the hot takes relative to the shouty shows. And it's not our thing, right? We don't have that many of them. Yeah. I have just found the hottest take to come out of the Senior Bowl week. Would you like it? I have identified the first Hall of Famer from this Senior Bowl class.
Really?
You ready for this? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's a few steps to this, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers have just hired... Damn it, I've done it again. Jazz hands. Kill it. Stop. Go back. There you go. It's that. It's one-handed jazz hand. It does the camera thing. Okay. So
if you see that, it's not because Sam is spazzing out or anything.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have just hired Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, right? Arthur Smith runs a lot of power scheme type of runs. He needs a large interior offensive lineman. The Steelers are currently staffed with a bunch of smaller guys, particularly at center. They need an upgraded center. They need a big center. Enter stage left. Oregon center, Jackson Powers Johnson, 320 pounds of monster, where the Steelers, picking at number 20 in the first round, select him, add him to the list of immediate inaugural or immediate deified centers because they're a Pittsburgh Steelers starting center from rookie season. Boom, Hall of Fame, 15 years time, book it, done.
Wow. I love it. I love it, dude. He weighed in at 334, Sam. 334. His body is amazing. Clip that one.
Yeah.
The guy is 6'3", which is 6'3"? 334 at center. And it's like the whitest dude I've ever seen. He looks like he's wearing pads from 1994. That he is a Steeler. He is absolutely a Steeler. I love this take. I love it. And right to
and
the
because he'll be a day one Pittsburgh starting center, he's in the Hall of Fame already.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. He looks like a creative player. He does look fake out on the field. There are some amazing body types out here. Last year, remember, it was the year of like the undersized player who,
right.
Guys that just bucked all the trends at their positions with Johnny Wilson as a wide receiver, tight end hybrid, Powers Johnson being a monster center. You have James Williams, who's a 6'4", 230-pound. He was playing free and strong safety at Miami. He's converting to linebacker. We're going the other way with just like monster body types this year in this year's draft.
Yeah, 6'3", 334, future Hall of Fame, first round Pittsburgh Steelers starting center. Done. That was easy.
Perfect.
We should have more hot takes. We're good at them.
Well, you are at least. That's good. That's going to be
only this one time.
Could be. Yeah. I still have, Corey. I have my Corey Davis one. That's what I'm living off of.
That's true.
Christian Haynes from UConn. Just, if you're into guards, looking really good. Left and right guard, they cross-train him across different positions. He's been excellent in the pass protection drills. Really graded well throughout his college career as well. And then speaking of monsters, Tavondre Sweat, the nose tackle from Texas. Did he weigh in? I don't have a weigh-in number for him. But he looks all of the 360 or so that he was listed at. He is huge. I know there's a couple reps of him from Wednesday's practice, bull rushing centers, right through the pocket. He's fun to watch on tape, graded well against the run. I think he could play well against the run, but dude could push the pocket as well with that size. And he's shown that during practice as well.
He did not weigh in. I think he was the guy Trevor was talking about yesterday of somebody that was listed as an absolute freaking monster and specifically did not weigh in, suggesting that he might be an even larger monster than he was listed as being.
He looks huge. I had to snap a couple pictures because you love pictures of, large people, small people, the whole, I'll send you the Sweat pictures because he looks quite big, but he can play. Like he's not overweight.
Yeah,
I don't think.
There's a few clips of him just running right over people.
So that's the majority of what I have. Let me see any other. Do I just like read my notes? I'm not great at taking notes. Tez Walker and Kyrie Jackson, a couple long receiver cornerback matchups early on. They had some good ones. I mentioned Lob, Tez's drops. I almost got hit by a helmet today.
Oh, yeah?
Did you see the clip of the helmet toss?
No.
What? Jordan Jefferson, the LSU defensive tackle, against Christian Haynes. They went one-on-one, and Jefferson, like, took Haynes' helmet and just slung it. The UConn helmet just slung it. And I was right there. I was right there on the field, right near it, and it almost hit me. It was dangerous.
So you were almost killed.
Almost got killed here at Senior Bowl practice. Because Jefferson is that's bad for the model. The helmet toss. Okay. So we're
have you been any closer to getting some live reps with your arm? I need Steve passing the ball.
I held a ball today. I did hold the ball. Yeah. So we're one step closer. We'll see what happens on Thursday here. Held the ball. Threw it back into play.
In order to throw the ball, you first need to hold the ball. So, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. We have taken the first step. Now we just need the next few steps.
Oh, so we'll see what happens. Other than that, I mean, I think it's, you know, we're just hanging out, talking to people. We had, I ran into one front office at dinner last night.
Front office?
It's about 6 people, GM and scouts and everything. And I was having dinner with someone else. The person I was with had to leave. So I was like left me with the check. So I was picking up the check and I was, you know, I went up to them and said something about, hey, you guys using Ultimate or whatever. They're like, oh yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great. And then as I was walking out, they came back to me. They're like, what should we do with the grades? So they asked me about what to do with PFF grades. Yeah. And I said, they're great. You got to use them, you know. And I was being serious. I was like, yeah, you guys do your own evaluations and then you cross check and, you know, and they're just nodding. They're like, yeah, yeah, it's good. They agreed. They agreed the grades were hashtag good. Good.
Nice.
As a guide, that's a tweet right there, right?
Spoke to a front office that told me the grades were good.
Oh, my it's Magic Johnson tweet. Tweets.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually a tweet that I'm relatively certain you've done before, making it up facetiously, but it's actually now factually correct.
But it really happened, right? It really happened. Right. So yeah, my dry tweets, I will have that, and I'll just personalize it as if it's happening right now tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
At dinner,
right?
Ran into a front office. They told me the grades are good, and then everybody will be like, "Hey, see JJ Watt, see what happened? Hmm. The grades are good. People do listen to them."
Are you doing any or much talking to players? I mean, I know, you know, journalism isn't really your thing, but people do that during the Senior Bowl. Are you getting in on the journalism or are you just watching from afar?
No, I had, I was wearing my PFF pullover today. The only player I talked to was Marshawn Neyland from Western Michigan. He was like, oh, PFF. And I'm like, oh boy, what do you want? Is he trying to like pick a fight? You know, what's he trying to get into? And then he's like, no, you guys say good things about me. I'm like, yeah, it's because you play well. So, you know, I don't do a lot of talking to players. No, I don't do the journalism thing. I don't see the need for me to be able to do that. I mean, do you have any questions you want to ask or anything? Like, I can try to.
I got a question for you. I want you to vicariously ask. I want you to ask Brendan Rice. I want you to ask him. What kind of pressure comes with following Jerry?
Oh.
Like the man is Rice's kid, and he's followed him into the same career at the same position. What kind of pressure that brings along with it?
I'm sure I'll be the first one to ask that unique question.
It's not about being first, Steve. It's about doing it right.
So that's another one of the interesting things about the Senior Bowl is the I can only see what I can see. And then people have to interpret it and then convey their thoughts. I've seen a lot of people saying that Brendan Rice is having a great week here. Mm. I've seen like what I've seen is like, you know, a little mixed. So I always find that interesting. You'll get different perception depending on who's looking at it or whatever it might be. But sure. He's done some nice things. I mean, physical. He's a different type of receiver than his dad. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he is. Very much so. No, you do get, I mean, even forget the variable of like, which reps did you see and which ones did you not see? You get that from people watching just the same tape, right? You come away with different conclusions. So that's part of what makes the evaluation thing like entertaining. If everyone, like all 32 teams are looking at the same players and setting a different draft board, and it's not just because they run different schemes or they have different play, like they are seeing different things or weighing the things differently within the same evaluation. So it makes sense. It's just there are certain times where you see it and you're like, I don't even know what you're looking at on this play.
It is very much like the grades. And again, like one of the GMs I talked to that, you know, on the sideline, and he was like, hey, you know, I appreciate what you guys do, blah, blah, blah. Because again, we're like one of the tools that they use to either be able to watch players, but again, but use our data to however they want to use it. And he was like, obviously we'll have stuff where that we focus on other things more than data and vice versa. And at the end of the day, I always say, and I said to this GM, I said, yeah, your job at the end of the day is to synthesize all the information and then you stack up the board, right? You make your decisions after all the information is in. And that and this same GM is over there watching like the defensive line get off drill, like really intently, you know? And so that's from that type of information to like 4-year PFF grades to the combine information to the Senior Bowl, like all of that stuff to all the interviews and everything that happens here, all of that gets rolled in and gets synthesized into decision making.
I saw one tweet that I thought was quite funny where somebody said, you know, Bo Nix has spent 10 years in college, but the last week at the Senior Bowl is really going to let us know whether he's good or not.
It's true, right? It's true. I will say there's been, I think Dak Prescott's year, he didn't look great at practice. And then I think he won MVP in the game. You know, there have been, I don't think a quarterback not looking great throw for throw at practice is a big deal because of everything that I said. It is so tough. Receiver depth, where are they running their routes? There was one play where Michael Hall, the Ohio State defensive tackle, he sacked Michael Penix, sacked him in 1.5 seconds. So if you don't have the offensive line holding up, you have no chance. And it's, I don't know. It's tough to like really judge the quarterback by like a couple missed throws. It's all a small sample size. So that's fair.
And, you know, the reverse has been true as well. Like I have never seen a better red zone drill than Kyle Lauletta way back in the day, who would put every single red zone pass like right into the hands and full outstretch of his receiver on the pylon. It's like the greatest sequence of 25 passes I've ever seen in my life. And the guy couldn't play in the NFL. So it doesn't necessarily mean much in either direction.
Nope, it really doesn't. So anyway, that's all I got here for today, Sam. Right. I also have a nice promo code that we've been using, the 30MDS, 30% off your annual PFF subscription. Use that mock draft simulator. Everything PFF has to offer, you get 30% off using the promo code 30MDS. Anything else you've seen from practice? I'm going to fly home here tomorrow. And then we're out to Vegas next week, man.
We are out to Vegas. The NFL, did you see the they've had such an uptake of media for a Vegas Super Bowl, shockingly, that they've had to employ an auxiliary hotel. Like last year, they had to have an auxiliary media spot at the stadium. Well, now they have to have a whole second media hotel because the Luxor is filled up. So they have added the Excalibur to the media party. So Vegas is just working its way through the worst hotels on the strip to stuff the media into. I assume once the rooms at the Excalibur are done, they're just going to hand people a pillow and direct them to a spot on the strip to sleep for the night. But the media is not doing well out of the Vegas accommodation.
Oh, wonderful. It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. I want to know, do the people actually care about these fun stories that we tell behind the scenes? A little inside baseball, the jargony stuff that we talk about. The little,
I know Walt doesn't.
Inside nuggets.
Who knows about the rest of them?
You know who doesn't?
Walt doesn't love him, but I don't know.
Oh, Walt doesn't care. People. He doesn't care about my run-ins with the hypothetical GM.
Not at all.
Well, we'll have more of them. We'll see what else. We're going to see who we see out right now at dinner. I'll just make some stuff up. We'll tweet through it. It'll be fun. But no, it's good. You'll be back here. So this is our Thursday show. Today's Thursday. You'll be here again tomorrow with Brad. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. So again, let us know a couple things. Vegas, if you're going to be out there, would you come by Circa for a drink on, say, Tuesday evening? And anything else? that we need to remind the people of?
No, I think that's that.
All right, great.
Our award thing is coming out soon. It might be tomorrow that it's being officially announced. Ooh. So we might know if we've won, if we're an award-winning podcast or not.
Oh, I hope it happens during practice.
Yeah. Would you take like a victory lap?
I imagine them stopping practice. You know, the same way they stopped the game for Drew Brees when he broke the passing yard record. You stopped practice, right. And we get a. So that's what I'm anticipating tomorrow.
Yeah,
a lot of high fives and standing ovations. So yeah, let us know. Let me know when it comes through.
I will.
All right, man. It's always fun. A lot more draft discussion. The draft starts in Mobile, so this is just the beginning. And you'll be back here tomorrow. And I'm flying home tomorrow. So thanks to everybody for tuning in. We'll see you again tomorrow with more PFF NFL Podcast.